Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems, and some will have no spiritual beliefs. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is keep an open mind. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight, I have an exciting guest, Brenda Pierce, who is the radio show host for E Factor, and she's also an author, and she's going to be talking about her book and her radio show tonight. Brenda is an innovator. She's an RN of 30 years, an author, healer, speaker, and dreamer. She has learned to live life from a balanced perspective. It was during a hands-on healing session that occurred a little over a decade ago that life began to transform. That hands-on session broke through blocks in her life and opened the door to greater discovery, awareness, and peace. The hands-on healing session happened while working at her local hospital as a staff RN. It happened at a time when her life was at its lowest point in her marriage, when the day before her husband had thrown his wedding ring at her. The hands-on healing gave her a sense of peace and a storm of uncertainty and gave her the tools to navigate through the storms of life. She's a Reiki master teacher and has studied several other modalities. She's an advocate for integrative medicine and feels there's a place for complementary therapies in our world of healthcare today. I'm going to list a couple of websites. The first one is for Integrative Choice. That is www.peoplesrem.org. Her book site is BPEARCERAI. That's bpearcerai.wis.com/purchase-book-today. And her new network site for her radio show is www.efactorlive.com. So with that said, I'd like to welcome Brenda. Brenda, how are you tonight?
Oh, David, I am wonderful, and it is so nice to be here with you and your wonderful tribe that you've been growing here on Different Strokes, and
oh.
I'm so proud of your progress, and it's so nice to spend this time with you.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's a pleasure to have you. I'm honored, and I've been looking forward to the show. I wondered if you could tell us just a little bit more about yourself. Just elaborate a little bit on the biography, and then I have some other questions that I want to ask you.
Absolutely, and thank you. I am a nurse, and 11 years ago now, if it didn't come from a doctor's mouth or his prescription pad, I didn't believe it was possible. And 11 years ago, when I was going through the trauma of my husband's illness, he was progressively becoming schizophrenic and psychotic during our marriage, and the signs of that just kind of started a little after the beginning of our marriage 28 years ago. And I was at the lowest point. I had three small children, and I saw somebody at work going around, and she was wearing a palliative care smock, and she was doing what was known as relaxation breaks. And that was with our patients on our continuing care unit. I had never seen or heard of this, anything like this before. It was a brand new, never, ever encountered before experience. We were watching her do this, and we were kind of looking around at each other, the staff were, and going, what is that freaky voodoo she's doing? And we were kind of like, you know, watching, mystified, not knowing what was going on. Anyway, the freaky voodoo lady followed me down to the staff lounge and explained to me and my coworker that was in the lounge at the time what Reiki was, and asked if anybody could use a little stress break. And, geez, I put up my hand quite readily for it, and she did a three minutes, that's all it was, putting her hands on various parts of my head all the way down to my feet. And during somewhere along the line, I went into a deep meditative state, and obviously not very long, but enough to break through the pain, fear, and anxiety I was experiencing at that time. And when I came out of it, I was so euphoric. I couldn't believe that I could be that transported that quickly out of the here and now present into a state of bliss. And that 3 minutes changed my life forever. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here with you, David.
Wow. Well, I like the fact that you use the word bliss, which is something that you always use in your closing on your emails to me. I just love that. Blessings and bliss, or bliss and blessings. Bliss is a wonderful state to be in, and I think that that is what God wants for all of us. And so many people have never experienced it, and it's a wonderful state to be in. So I'm glad that you had that experience. Have you had any other experiences like that?
Well, what that 3 minutes did was lead me on to a quest of learning and understanding. So I came right out of that state, and I asked Sandy, who was the practitioner, all the questions, what is it, how is it, can I have it again, when can I have it? And she just basically said every Tuesday she was there, and if I wanted to connect with her again, to sign up and go. And it was, like, amazing, because I floated around the rest of that 12-hour shift, so I had, like, 9.5 hours left of that 12-hour day to go through, and having had the wedding ring thrown at me the day before, it was like, very, very foreign to anticipate feeling blissful and peaceful for the next 2.5 days. And when I finally came out of that cloud of joy, I was ready for more of it, because obviously I had, many, many struggles left to go personally, and, trying to maintain the equilibrium of being a good nurse and being a good wife and honoring the fact that he wasn't in a state of mind to be able to make good decisions at that point, and being a mother to three small children, it's taxing at the best of times. But what that did was, like I said, led me on a quest of deeper understanding and experiencing of Reiki, which I believe, is, takes advantage. It's called Reiki, means universal life force energy, and it's a Japanese couple of words. And it really is opening me up to the understanding that we are all interconnected, that energy cannot be transmitted, cannot be created or destroyed, but it can be changed or transmuted from one form to another. And I've had many, many different blissful states since then, using Reiki, and it gave me the tools to get through the difficult times, and then to give me the strength to get through the divorce process as well. Attempted to divorce my husband twice, and the first time he kind of straightened around, and so it was really wonderful to have the tools, which I used in his better days, to help give him relaxation and peace. But
oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And to help the kids get through, you know, their difficult growing up years as well, because living in a world where there is serious organic mental illness, you know, it's to give them strength and let them understand, too, that there is a better day and, you know, that there are tools to help you cope. And then what your dad is going through is not necessarily anything to do with you, and that you're blessed and loved was really important for our family. And then as things go, sometimes, unfortunately, in particular, this type of mental illness does not get better. He cycled down three more times to the point where it was just no longer possible to deal with it, and he left us. And so, you know, it was a matter of coming to peace with the process and understanding that marriage vows don't necessarily mean forever, even if you do believe in forever and for better, for worse, for richer or poor, till death do us part. Because of the dogmas that, you know, surround us sometimes in our religious practices, I felt that this Reiki, this experience, gave me the tools to help me understand that spirituality is different than religion, and that religious doctrines don't necessarily have to dictate the way you live. And so it was a real growth experience for me to go through this experience, and for my husband, my ex-husband as well, and our family. And if it wasn't for the tools of hands-on healing that I was so blessed to receive in that three-minute healing, I would not have come into a better state of understanding about life and the fact that we are deserving of our own bliss and joy and abundance, and that we can have the moment of being able to create or recreate ourselves in any moment, and that it's all good. And that's, I'm forever blessed for that.
Well, yes, you are. And that's a wonderful message to put out there. How can people achieve that for themselves? What kinds of tools would you recommend that people use to find their own joy, to have that self-confidence that all is good, that abundance is theirs, all of these things that you talked about?
Well, I think, first of all, understanding that these messages that you're hearing from David's show and, you know, various programs that are out there that are meant to spirituality, transformation, are really coming from the heart of people who experience this transformation for themselves. And I remember for myself, while I was going through the dark night of the soul and going through the challenges of all that, I became a Telesummit junkie, which was my form of connecting with transformational healers, speakers, and all that sort of thing through various telesummits that are out there, which I had never heard of Blog Talk Radio at that point. So I honestly believe that when you are open to receiving and you are starting to seek, the answers come to you. And it's through the words of those who've been there and done that and can open that door for you. And so I clung to the words of all those people, thinking, oh, geez, that's so wonderful for them. I wish it could happen for me. But eventually, if you hear enough good stuff and good information, it will start to resonate with you. And once you start to raise your vibrational frequency, which is the energy, there's a lot of science behind all these biofield therapies. They all have different names and, you know, different tweaks on it, but it's all energy, and all that energy is around us, and it's there to support us. And when we're resonating at a less than our optimal frequency, which is the Schulman frequency of 7.83 hertz, we do slip into the world of pain, fear, and anxiety. And each one of those pieces of the triangle can enhance the other and make the experience more difficult. But if you want to just honestly believe that what I'm offering you right now is a chance to have kind of like a lifeline thrown to you to understand that there is a better day, that life can change, that the difficult things do not have to define your existence, that the dogmas and doctrines that you exist in may serve you or they may not serve you, but you have to come to a place of peace. Some people find it through meditation or yoga. Some find it through massage. Some find it through hands-on healing like I did. Some do find it through reading and new thought books or even old thought books. Like today I uploaded Think and Grow Rich from Napoleon Hill. And that book has created more life-sustaining wealth changes, which is a frequency as well. And so it is important to find, if there's something that's knocking on your door, don't ignore it and look at it, investigate it, or even, you know, connect with practitioners in your area. And if you don't know someone, I'd be willing to work with you by distance as well. So there are many ways, like I say, there's many ways to God. No one way is the right way, and they're all perfect in their own way. So that's what I experience and feel and share.
Well, you have just shared an abundance. How can people best get in touch with you, Brenda?
The best way would be through email, and the best email of choice is B. Pearce, so BPEARCERAI @gmail.com, and I'd be happy to, you know, help you in any way possible. I also have a website for my healing practice, which is www.biomatrixtherapy.com, so BIOMATRIXtherapy.com. And if there's anything there on that site that I can assist you with, I'd be happy to help.
Well, thank you for that, Brenda. I think that some of the things that you pointed out that I'd just like to reiterate are that whatever it is that you need will come to you. God always meets our needs, not necessarily our wants. I think that the first thing that we need to do is put out a desire and practice gratitude and be grateful for the place that we're in, because when I am bemoaning my current state or trying to reach for something that's not there yet, I'm not appreciating the present. And from the present, the future will unfold just as it's meant to. And so I think it's important for people to recognize that they're right in the place that they need to be, and that God will bring the people into their paths that are meant to assist them. And one of the ways that they can open up new doors of understanding is this vibrational frequency that you talked about, and it's really all about, as I see it, maintaining a positive outlook, surrounding yourself with positive influences, and just keeping present to your feelings, so that if you start to slip into a negative realm, you can start reaching for the next best thought, action, or feeling that will raise your level of vibration. Now, you talked before about religion and spirituality as being different, being potentially different. I wondered if you could elaborate a little bit on that.
Oh, yes. I grew up Catholic. I went to Catholic school. I did all the sacraments. I kept myself chaste and pure, married the man of my dreams, and, you know, just really, really focused on what was, you know, my catechism growing up. And it created a beautiful framework. And the sacraments were there, you know, obviously to keep us in alignment with church doctrine. And so when I was a tender 23 years old, my husband and I got married, and he was a handsome, young, vibrant man, farmer, you know, very wholesome and very much in alignment with my thoughts and beliefs and, and we thought we had the world by the tail. But what happened soon was we stayed in, you know, we practiced our faith and we raised our children to be in the faith as well. And then the difficulty of mental illness and its deep dark spiral of delusions and hallucinations and medications and hospitalizations and observations and put me basically into a position of being my husband's caretaker. And at one point, you know, still honoring our vows and honoring that marriage is forever and loving my husband through this, even when he started to believe I was not the person I am to him, which is he started to see me as a member of the mafia, believe that our children weren't from him, that I had been unfair, that I had, when I go to work, I was actually doing mafia duties, and he started following me. And these were during the periods when he was off medication, and his reality was so skewed. He thought we were microchipped and that we were being followed by the CIA, and the story was starting to become more and more very illusionary, very much like the plot of A Beautiful Mind. And that, mm-hmm. you know, it really challenged my beliefs in that I would go to church and I would pray, fix him, please, fix me, fix our marriage, please, God, fix him, you know. and yet it didn't happen that way. I started to lose some faith, even though I still continued to practice. I dutifully went to church and prayed and prayed and prayed. And then I found out that God didn't answer, just like you said there, David. God doesn't necessarily answer our prayers in the way that we ask, but
right.
He does provide answers in a different way. And I, you know, and so eventually here we were, this very much a Catholic family. We didn't get any support from our church. We were embarrassed to reach out. I didn't know who to ask and what to ask for from our priests and that sort of thing, and didn't get any assistance when it started to become very obvious there was a problem. And so I started to lose kind of that connection, and, you know, they didn't seem to want to follow up on us when we weren't showing up to church. And so I started to lose kind of faith in the church. And then I started to go mm-hmm. through this whole process of questioning. And when we finally separated, I wasn't going to church much anymore because I was working more. I had to work more weekends. And you know, I wasn't, because I was in a state of separation, going through a divorce, which is a big taboo if you're fundamentally following the Christian faith. And then one day I got a call from the church secretary who said, Brenda, are you and your husband, are you going to pick up the envelopes at the back of the church? We were into March of another year, and we didn't pick up the church envelopes for the donations, the typing that we're supposed to do. And so they were questioning, well, your envelopes are still at the back of the church. Are you going to come pick them up, or should we mail them to you? And I kind of said, no, I don't think so. I have to work more. I don't think it's really worth the postage. You know, I'll just put donations in if I go. Oh, do you want us to take you off the roster of the membership of the church?
Oh, my.
I said, no, you can't take us off that. I said, maybe just because I'm not coming right now doesn't mean that I want to be removed from the membership of the church. And, you know, very cold. You know, there wasn't, you know, wasn't any support. There was, it turned out, you know, obviously all we were was a monetary donation. And I really woke up then and went, oh, my God, that's not you, God. That's not you at all. That's man trying to enact a business of your church and of your presence. And I really, really was deeply hurt. You know, that all I am is a dollar sign. in a collection basket. That's not how God is. God is everywhere. I really realize then God is in me and through me. And,
right. And
having experienced Reiki and hands-on healing, I feel the energy of God's energy field going through me when I'm working with people. And that is God. God is not somebody preaching at you. It's God flowing through you. And spirituality has much more higher vibration than the density of dogma and rules and dollar signs and collection baskets and following rules that are not that are meant to keep you stuck in difficult situations. And once I made that realization, my life is not just a Sunday hour. It's every moment. And I live my life from a higher vibration. And when I go to work, I consider that sacred time. I work for God and company when I do anything I do to help humanity to feel better, raise their vibration, get their message out in the world, or feel just simply empowered. And that's the difference between church and spirituality in my mind.
Well, that I couldn't agree with you more on all of the points that you made. I mean, to me, religion is man-made, and it only is useful if it enhances one's sense of spirituality. And if one has to live by rules and regulations and doesn't feel spirit moving through them, doesn't feel God moving through them, because we are all channels of God's love and God's healing energy, then that person might want to take a look at what purpose their religion is serving them. I certainly had to do that with mine and have moved on. I was very moved by your story about the situation with your husband. I have witnessed mental illness from the inside out. I worked with the chronically mentally ill people, many of whom were schizophrenic, for 20 years. And I have had to deal with my own mental illness, which started out as depression. And when I stopped drinking, mania surfaced. And so I was finally diagnosed with a bipolar disorder. And thank God I've been on medication that's controlled that. But I have experienced delusional reality, and it can be both a wonderful and a frightening experience. And we have a little bit of competition from my dog, who is across the hall, so pay no attention to the dog behind the curtain. I just wanted to ask you just to tie things up a little bit about the situation with your husband. What other coping mechanisms did you use to get through that time so that you released yourself from being a victim into a person that was victorious?
Wow, that's a wonderful, wonderful turning point. What it was a point where it was just unrelenting. I would go to sleep at night. If my husband was a truck driver, he still is. Believe it or not, and living with schizophrenia and fixed false beliefs and delusions and maintaining a high function in the world. But his paranoia was that he thought that I was doing all kinds of things behind his back. So he would call me in the middle of the night and wake me up from a dead sleep and ask me where I was. And I'd say, I'm home. You just called home. I'm here. And he'd say, no, you had the phone forwarded and all this stuff. I know you're somewhere else. Where are you? And, you know, it would just bring me to my knees and I'd cry, you know, because it was just unrelenting. And, of course, in that deep moment of deep despair, that's when your heart opens up and asks for help. And the divine helped me in giving me, shortly thereafter, I met some people who were dowsers. I went to a dowsing meeting, and there was a guest speaker and all this sort of thing. And I got from a friend of mine who was a guest speaker that night the prayer of release. And it was an amazing prayer, and I just knew that I had to pray this prayer. And this prayer of release basically forgave the situation, forgave everyone and everything that was harming me and hurting me, and in that state of grace opened up the opening to make a new thought, new decision, which eventually, within a very short time thereafter, my husband just decided to pack up and leave. He had enough. So his delusions were such that he had enough. And I believe it was because the prayer of release allowed him to back off and, in his own mind, make the decision to leave. And so that prayer is something that is very, very powerful. I only share it with people under very, very dire circumstances because it is so powerful that it will cause a release. So you have to be ready to use it. And so that opening created a sense of calm because I felt I had dealt with it. By releasing the situation and my husband and forgiving him for what he had done and what he was going through, that it opened up the opening to for me to think of life in a different way, and that thy will be done was done through that prayer.
Amazing. Well, it sounds like it opened the door to personal healing for you.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I'd like to move on and talk about your book, and I do thank you for sharing intimately about your past. I think that it's so helpful when people who've been through certain challenges can share their testimony with others who may be going through the very same sorts of challenges, because without hope, we're dead. And so for somebody that's been through the dark night of the soul, whatever the experience is, and has come out the other side and can speak to how even though your wants were not met at the time and there was this challenge that seemed like a struggle, that in retrospect you can see that God met your needs each step of the way, provided just the type of assistance that you needed. And to be able to testify to that to somebody that's going through it, I think really engenders hope. So thank you for that. And now I'd like to hear a little bit about your book. Can you tell us the name of it and what it's about?
Oh, wonderful. Well, this wonderful book that's actually going into publication this week was a journey. It was a friend that was a guest of mine on one of my programs a year ago, Ann Deidre, is an intuitive healer herself and very connected to the divine and the angelic realm, put out a cry to the universe and just asked for women, 12 women to show up and to be part of an amazing book project that she wanted to get off the ground. And within 24 hours, 12 women showed up. One of them was myself. And the Inner Circle Chronicles, Volume 1, was born. And so 12 amazing women from all different walks of life, 11 from the U.S., and I'm the token Canadian, combined our heartfelt sense of tragedy to triumph and the gifts that were unfolded because of our journey. And for myself, I wrote an article, a chapter on overcoming the divorce and developing the gift of my voice, because in the midst of, obviously, with all the delusions and the personal tragedies we were going through because of my husband's illness, communication was very stifled and muffled because I couldn't get through to him the understanding that he was not in a good state of mind or congruent with what the general consensus was around. And so communication was obviously a great challenge. So with the divorce, I found my voice and how I used the law of attraction and the law of tithing and losing attachment to the outcome as being a very key piece to coming into a state of bliss and grace as I know it now, and just now circumstances don't stick to me like they did before. And so I'm hoping that my chapter will help deeply help others to be able to hone their own skills and create the massive changes that they're looking for in their own lives. Some of the writers in the book are artists, so there'll be paintings, pictures of their paintings. One person is a photographer and finds beautiful nature photographs, and verses come to her to in alignment with what she sees. We have a poet who's also submitted some beautiful poetry for the book. It's a beautiful giving of the gifts of our overcoming, and that's what this book is all about. And with this, we've created this beautiful inner circle, and we each, like ripples in a pond where you start the ripple effect with a stone, our circles of our lives are intertwined in such beautiful ways that we're touching lives beyond with our words and our deeds in the book. And now we're actually, there's another volume of it that's been started, and we've, each of us in the book, have reached out to another sister, so to speak, of this inner circle, and we're expanding our circle, and this ripple effect is growing and growing. It's beautiful unfolding of the richness of life that can come from the challenges of life. And each of us have our story, and it gives us such a beautiful voice to be able to put it in word like that. And that's basically what the book is all about.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And I'm wondering how all of the different authors got together. I know you talked about Anne Deirdre putting out a request to the universe, but what were the actual dynamics of that, the beginning of the collaboration?
Oh, wow. Thank you for asking. One of the things is Anne being a healer herself, and this book being a divinely inspired book, we began having monthly calls where we would all come on, and Anne would work with each and every one of us in our chakras to help us, and we each call had a different chakra we worked on. And the collaboration of knowing that we were all, and believe me, it's hard to get 12 women to all agree to be on a phone call at the same time. And we all managed to do this repeatedly throughout the process, receive these amazing healings while we were doing the research and going through our own writing processes. And we all became really great friends on the phone. And then we were invited to go to a retreat in Nantucket last October, where we all made it, and we all spent an amazing weekend together and just created a beautiful lifeline of friendships that transpire well beyond the boundaries of the book. And you know, and so it's just been such a grace-filled process, and we're each stronger because we each know each other and have gone through this journey together.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful, wonderful story in and of itself. A little while ago, you talked about the law of attraction, and that might not be familiar to some people. Would you explain what that is?
Absolutely. A lot of people, there are natural laws that exist, whether we know it or not. Just like Newton's law of gravity exists, and it works time and time again without failure. So are the laws of attraction, the law of duality, the law of, there's seven natural laws, and the law of typing is one of them as well. But the law of attraction became very familiar to a lot of people through a movie that became a blockbuster hit called The Secret. And I use it as a teaching tool when I, for all my students in college, whenever I talk about personal development and their role and their interconnection and what they think about, they bring about. And so that is the key factor in the law of attraction. So as you had, we had spoken both previously about, our thoughts, you know, raising our vibration, bringing different things to our purview. Einstein said, problems cannot be solved at the same level of thinking that created them. So let's expand on that for a second. When you are feeling hurt and down and alone and lonely, you put that feeling out and you attract more of it, and you'll feel more lonely, more down, more desolate, more impoverished. And it's just that I am what I am. So if you say I am broke, you're going to be broke. You're going to stay stuck in a broke mentality. If I'm hurt, then the pain seems to accelerate itself. But when you can delve beyond and start to expand into I am bliss, I am joy, I am peace, I am abundant, and start to really feel the difference long enough, you notice that that feeling of abundance and bliss and peace and joy and love feel lighter and feel more in accordance with who you are inside. That's why the other feelings are so painful, is because we know they don't belong to us, and yet we attract them to us. And so we live in that state. But when you start to want to resonate at a higher vibe, that law of attraction brings more of it to you, brings opportunities, brings you, more peace in your life. You can function and flow without letting all the sticky, icky stuff stick to you or have the same charge on you. It still can happen. But if you bring to yourself the law of attraction and use it as it should to raise you up from the difficult stuff that happens in life, then it really does start to feel happier. And that's what God really wants us to have, is bliss and joy and happiness and peace. And you feel more connected with the divine when you're in those higher states. So the law of attraction can bring heaven to earth, if you decide it to be so. And that's it in a nutshell.
Well, thank you. And that's a very important point, if you decide it to be so. And you also talked about a very powerful tool, and that is the power of affirmation. I am is the most powerful statement that you can make. And so it's very important to watch what you connect the I am statement to. And all of the things that you were talking about were positive, affirming, life-enhancing things. And whether or not you believe that that is so, just fake it until you make it, as they say in Alcoholics Anonymous. Pretend. You just use your imagination and say the affirmations out loud. There's much more power to it when you do that. And so thank you for sharing that. Have you ever been published before, or is this your first book project?
This one with the Inner Circle Chronicles is my first published book. I have done some blogging and things like that, articles online and that sort of thing, which is a great way to start. Creating some presence and getting your word out. But this is my first baby book that I'm just so thrilled to be a part of. And it's nice to, I've spoken to so many of the girls in the book, and we're all like, you know, giving birth when this book is published, because we are all writing stuff that's so deeply personal. And, yourself having been a published author time and time again, David, it is just like birthing a new child into the world when you do become published.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, that's got to be so exciting for you. I'm really thrilled for you. Now, when is it going to be published?
Actually, we were supposed to be published like 2 weeks ago, but, last-minute changes and last-minute editorial reviews and that sort of thing have made it so that it's actually going to be published this week. I'm so excited. I've always in my mind always thought as a little girl, wouldn't it be cool to be an author? And, you know, during the journey of everything else that was going on in life, I never ever envisioned it to be so. But with the opening and the peace and the new balance I have in my life, it's possible, and it's possible for anyone to have their dreams come true. And I'm proof positive that if you really want something bad enough, it will happen if you put your heart and soul behind it. So this is a wonderful project. It's going to be in time for Mother's Day, and I'd like to encourage anybody who has a wonderful woman in their life that this would be a wonderful gift. And to go to my Order the Book Now link that David had read earlier, you can pre-order it through me, and I will autograph it, and it includes postage and handling and tax and all that sort of thing for $20 U.S., and I will be glad to put a personalized message in there for the recipient. And a donation from every book sale goes in memory of my one son who died 25 years ago to the hospital that took care of him, because in recognition of the 25th anniversary, I really have a heartfelt mother mission to give back to that hospital in his name.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wow. So where else is the book going to be available?
It'll be available in Kindle and hard copy on Amazon and all the major online booksellers, and hopefully we'll get it into some bookstores in an area near you.
Great, great. And you mentioned that another book project's in the works, and that's called Embraced by the Divine, is that correct?
Yes, that's right. So cool. Not only did I have, am I having one book published this year where I am a contributing co-author, I have a second opportunity which came up just actually a little over a month ago. Michelle Meyer from Australia, who is an angel intuitive as well and an Isis practitioner. She's very connected to Isis energy. Had a personal tragedy happen earlier this year, and the divine spoke through her and to her that to gather 20 women together and to create a book. And Embraced by the Divine is the name of the book that will be coming out. It will probably be published by Balboa Press, and I'm just so thrilled to have this opportunity, because in this book, Embraced by the Divine, we share, just like we were talking earlier, about the processes that we use to achieve our spiritual breakthrough and healing. And so in there, I share the prayer of release and the story about its power in there. So definitely going to be a wonderful, wonderful book.
Oh, that's great. Just great. Sounds like a couple of wonderful books to me. Well, let's just kind of move on into a different direction. I wondered if you could tell people who are not familiar with your radio show when it is and what it's about.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much, David. E-Factor Radio Network is a podcasting network that I'm developing where other broadcasters are coming in to be seen and heard through the platform of my network site, and that is www.efactorlive.com. It is just under development right now and will be releasing soon. If you want to, my radio show is E-Factor Radio, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. So if you go to blogtalkradio.com/efactorbrendapierce, that will take you to my own personal broadcast page, and you can surf through the plethora of interviews that I have done with some of the major healers, speakers, teachers, and prosperity coaches as well, authors like David Clark, who has been a guest on my show, and I was so happy to have him. He was such a wonderful guest.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, this is such a wonderful giving back and forth here, you know, in honoring your journey and your wonderful books that you've written, David. I'm just so thrilled to be here with you. And so that's how you can get a hold of eFactor Radio. And eFactor is all those fresh approaches to living life. So I'm so thrilled that the rest of my life can be the best of my life, and I'm helping others to get their voice and their presence out there in the world, just as you are.
Well, that's wonderful, and that's a wonderful point that everybody might want to consider, and that is that the rest of your life can be the best of your life. And as you were saying earlier, whatever you dream, you can realize. And, you know, again, this comes back to embracing the positive energy of the universe and faith, if you will. So some food for thought for people. I'm just curious, this is going off in another direction. What was your early concept of God, and how has that evolved over the years?
Well, my concept of God was he was somebody way distant and way up there and way male and sitting on a throne and judgment and very judgmental. And in my room as a little girl, I had two statues that were kind of three-dimensional. They actually popped out. They were hung on the wall, and they kind of Mary and Jesus, and Jesus had his heart with the Sacred Heart with the blood dripping from his heart. And I would look at them, and I would scrunch my eyes so tight, and it was such fear-based prayer, you know, fear of being judged and fear of, you know, looking at these people sticking out of the wall. And it worked, because I lived kind of a fear-based life. I did everything the way I was supposed to. I did. Mm-hmm. I went to church, and I was a good girl, and I worked very, very hard. And that was all good, all fine and good. It created a strong framework and a good work ethic. But it did not give me a very positive view of what God was, or, you know, the whole, you know, that we were not connected, that, you know, if you didn't go to confession, you'd go to hell kind of thing. And so it was very fear-based, and I've now come to a place of great peace, and I'm so much happier now, having gone through the journey and come to this place of peace where I don't have to feel so controlled and manipulated, and that had such a negative view of the great eternal God. I think we've lost David. I just want to share that... you know, we all have this evolutionary journey that we're going through, and it's so important for us to really be kind to ourselves and love ourselves, no matter whether we're in fear or pain or darkness, but just continue to love the little child that is within our heart and soul, and to really let them know that we're not abandoning them or that they're not alone, as we may have felt as children at times, and love ourselves into this great unfolding that every day is this beautiful gift, and that's why they call it the present.
Mm. Well, I am back. I had muted my microphone because the dog was starting to act up again, and I was having difficulty unmuting it. So thank you for stepping up to the plate and sharing those wonderful words of advice. It's a beautiful life, and it really is all about practicing unconditional love. And if I can embrace the little child within me that was scared for whatever reason and love him and tell him he's okay, then I know that I will be okay too, because that little child lives within each and every one of us, and it's so important to love that child in order to come to love ourselves today. And that certainly has been a big part of my journey. In closing, I would just like to ask you, what words of advice would you have to somebody that's going through either a faith crisis or a personal challenge such as you went through? What words of wisdom might you share?
First of all, yes, love yourself. Hold on to you and hold on to this moment now. And it is each moment. Don't live in the past, because the past can only hurt you and hold you back if you let it. And don't worry about tomorrow, because we are assured that the sun is going to come up and shine each and every morning, even when we've gone through the darkest of nights. And please know that you, from your heart, if you ask for help, it's there. Even if it's a tiny, small voice in your heart, ask, because God is listening. Even if you don't think so, please know that the answers are there. Keep your eyes open and focus on a better tomorrow, and know that it will be there.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. Now, let me ask you, what are your future plans and hopes and dreams?
Thank you. Well, I was there for a while in conflict with being in nursing, and I've now come full circle with that as well, because with my moving into bliss and radio broadcasting and authoring and all this wonderful stuff, I was ready to throw away the nurse in me, which has lived there for 30-odd years. So, and then it became a little bit of a tug and pull kind of thing. And I now realize that I can be a nurse and I can be all these wonderful things. And I plan on doing more of all these wonderful things, maybe getting into TV, starting my own compilation series of books, which I've already got the theme for, and just more discovery, more helping people get their voice out, still working the odd shift because it still grounds me and gives me purpose. And I know that when I go to work as a nurse, I do it for God and company. I don't do it for me anymore. It's bigger than me. And I just look at life as just this beautiful, beautiful unfolding, just like the lotus unfolds and becomes more beautiful with each petal that opens up. So too is the life journey. And it can be that way for anyone who chooses it.
Well, that's wonderful thought and wonderful metaphor. It's interesting, I had a guest on last week that told me that the lotus, the most beautiful lotuses, grow in absolute muck.
Mm-hmm.
And so perhaps the metaphor that we can take from that is that when we do go through those dark, challenging times that seem to test our very strength, it's out of those times and challenges that we begin to emerge from our cocoons and realize what beautiful butterflies we are when we come through the other side. So, Brenda, we've come to the end of the hour, and I really thank you for being on the show. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Oh, my pleasure, for sure. Thank you, David.
Thank you. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.